Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the word of God be on my mind, on my lips, in my heart. My brothers and sisters, this reading comes to us this morning from the Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter approached him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." The devil then took him up to the very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you, if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At that Jesus said, "Get away, Satan. It's written, the Lord your God you shall worship, and God alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. My brothers and sisters, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
There's an old Jewish tale about a rabbi who went on a journey with his servant Jacob. And when they came to a roadside inn, the rabbi went in to get some rest. And he left Jacob there to take care of his cart and feed his horse. Well, a horse trader came along and he plied poor Jacob with some strong drink. And before long, he persuaded Jacob to sell the rabbi's horse for a few coins. So the next morning, Jacob awakened to the enormity of his mistake, and he was very frightened. What would he tell the rabbi? Then he had an idea. Quickly, he placed himself between the empty shaft of the cart, and he started to chew hay. The rabbi came out. "What's the meaning of this?" he stammered. "Where's my horse?" "The horse," replied Jacob, "that's I." "Are you insane?" shouted the rabbi. "Please don't be angry with me," pleaded Jacob. He said, "Years ago, a great misfortune fell me. I was a very young man then. I was wild and foolish, and I sinned gravely with a woman. And to punish me, God turned me into a horse. And 20 years now, 20 long years, you have been my master. Now it seems my punishment is over. I'm a man again. Praise God." When the rabbi heard Jacob's story, he began to pray aloud, praising God for his mercies. But he had a problem. He couldn't continue his journey without his horse. So he went down to the marketplace to buy one. And there, at the horse trader's barn, he came face to face with his old horse, who was calmly munching hay. Shocked and distressed, the rabbi drew very close to the horse and whispered in its ear, "For God's sakes, Jacob, not again." Again so soon. Yeah, again so soon, huh? How many times have we had to say that to ourselves as we grow up and as we, maybe even now, how many times do I have to get angry, upset? How many times have you had to go into the priest? I hear the same sin over and over again. If you came to me on a regular basis in the past, I'd know who you were. I'd know what your sin was. Over and over again. I mean, who can count? I mean, each of us is different. We all have our own particular favorite sin, if you will. But for each of us, there's a sad pattern, I think. Because again and again, we stumble at the same spots, in the same roads. And as the years go by, and the same knee is bruised over and over again, and the same hand is scraped over and over again, there are two, I think, great temptations that knock insistently at the door of our hearts. And the first is presumption, which tells us to shut our eyes and say, "Ah, no problem, I'm just fine." That's one temptation. The second temptation is just the opposite, and that is despair. It says, "There's no hope for me. I'm beyond saving." Both of those temptations are lies. But it's very easy for one or the other to take hold and begin to feel like the truth. And that's why we have to work very hard, telling ourselves the real truth about ourselves. Be honest with yourself. Where does the truth-telling start? Well, that's why we have Lent, I guess. It begins with naming the sinful, destructive patterns of our lives. Not making them greater than they are or lesser than they are. Not smaller or bigger or larger. Just seeing those wounds in our wounding patterns as God sees them. And how does God see them? In context. And that means with hope and love. God looks at you and looks at me in our stumbling about, and God sees a beloved child who's having the usual troubles of growing up. God says to us, "You will grow up if you let me help you, but you'll have to be patient, and you'll have to be compassionate, and you'll have to be willing to change, as growing up takes a long time. For some people, it will continue for the next life. Actually, for all of us, we'll continue to grow in love. None of us are perfect in love. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect in love, in compassion." One of the kindest words that Jesus ever spoke was his response to the charge that he spent too much time with sinners. And it's a favorite of Pope Francis. And he said, healthy people, Jesus said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. He was saying to each of us, if you're wounded and you're wounding, if you're flawed and weak and you're not done yet, then I'm your man or I'm your woman. I'm your partner. If you'll let me be, you have to let me be. Don't turn away from me. I'm there to help you. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let God be your partner, be your friend, be your lover. Open your hearts to the one who loves you more than anyone else loves you. None of your wounds and your sadness, you know, name them. Name your wounds. We're all wounded in this in here. We've all been wounded, and we've wounded others in our lives. So name your wounds and your sadness, the hard places of your heart, and the empty places that are there. and give them all over to God. Let God take them. Put them in God's hands. Be compassionate as God is compassionate with you. You have to be compassionate with yourself first before you can be compassionate with anybody else. Don't judge yourself. And don't judge anyone else. Who are you to judge? Do not judge and you will not be judged. God comes as our lover and our best friend. That's what the Gospels are all about. That's what Christianity was all about. That's what attracted people to Christianity. In God's good time, the healing and the growing you desire will come about. God desires more than you, more than you do, your wholeness, your freedom, your fulfillment. When I was in college and having a hard time with my own self and talking to a professor friend, I'll never forget, he told me, "Richard, you think the saints are born that way?" "No, they're not born that way. They fall, but they get up. They fall again, and they get up again. And you keep falling, just keep getting up."